God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, dear friend, for tuning in to Southwest Radio Church. This is Pastor Larry. For the first 2,000 years after Christ's resurrection, the Christian faith exploded from a handful of converts to the most powerful and long-lasting movement the world has ever seen. It happened without the aid of television, radio, or the internet. The message was carried by foot soldiers who were armed with the gospel and ready to share the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting that Christians should not utilize the various media to broadcast our Lord's message. We delight in being digital. We've been encouraging our listeners to send their email address and name to info@swrc.com. We are having an email blast. But the point I want to make is the most effective marketing plan for the gospel continues to be equipping the saints for the work of ministry and building up the body of Christ. God's method has always been to make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. Modern methods of communication increase our influence exponentially. We need to be growing spiritually. We need to be prayer warriors. We need to be setting a good example to those around us. Remember, the greatest ability is availability. Say with the prophet Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." Friends, are you living for Jesus? Are you putting His plan and will before every other consideration? That's what we all need to do to enjoy the power, the glory, and the victory of God. Mark Biltz is one of my favorite expositors of the Bible, especially when he's talking about the Hebrew prophets and the end times. I remember the very popular programs we did on his book, Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times. Well, Mark has a new book titled, Decoding the Prophet Jeremiah, What an Ancient Prophet Says About Today. And we're going to tell you how you get that book. I know a lot of people are home. They don't have much to do. Maybe their office is closed down. This is good reading material. We'll get you into the book of Jeremiah like you've never been in the book of Jeremiah. So we are so blessed to have Mark with us. Mark, thank you for being on the show once again.
Well, thank you, Pastor Larry. I just love being on your show.
Well, we love having you, and our listeners love to have you. And as a matter of fact, I know some people have said, well, how are things up in Seattle? Is it the coronavirus apocalypse up there or what?
Yeah, with CHOP, you know. I mean, it's been crazy up here in Washington, that is for sure.
Yeah, well, you're all doing very well, I gather.
Yes, overall we're doing well. One thing about Washington State, they're one of the most liberal states, yes, of all the United States, but there's no really enforcement of anything. No, right. I mean, they just don't enforce their own laws.
So. Good, praise the Lord. So, anyhow, well, we do want to start with some general issues, and then we want to get into some textual issues that you handle quite well. So let me start off with the question. You write that the prophet Jeremiah lived in chaotic times. What were some of the cultural factors? What was some of the stress, the things that Israel was facing, that he was facing? Maybe kind of bring us, you know, right back to that day, and I think so many of us will be able to relate very well.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you're right, Pastor Larry. I mean, they were having a quarantine just like we are. They were quarantined for 3 years because they were besieged by Nebuchadnezzar. They even had pandemics going on. They had food shortages going on. They also had to deal with fake news. There was the prophets were all prophesying fake news. And then not only that, get a load of this, they even had foreign influence involved in their politics.
Mm.
Yeah, because when King Josiah died, he had two wives. And both the wives wanted their own son to be the ruler. And so Egypt is putting one in, and then Babylon comes along, and they put one in. So much of what was going on back then goes on today, even with from the hypocrisy going on. Mm. You have the abortion issue. They were offering their kids to Molech. Mm. There's so many parallels between Jeremiah's day and ours.
Well, I know, you know, I believe that God is the author of the scriptures. I think he put Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, wonderful book, in the Bible so that we could be encouraged and strengthened. And we certainly need encouragement from God. Well, Mark, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Why was that, and what was it symbolic of? What's so significant of that?
I believe Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he was representing God's heart. Several places you read where God is weeping over Jerusalem. He's weeping over Israel because he has to send his kids out into exile, and he was hoping they would repent, and he kept sending Jeremiah to warn them so they wouldn't have to be removed from the land and the temple destroyed, which is God's house. And I think it's amazing that when you think of teenagers who get kicked out of the house because they're being rebellious and punching holes in the walls, here God, as the father, not only kicks the kids out of the house, he burns the house down and leaves. So they really understood how upset God was. And so I believe Jeremiah was the weeping prophet for two reasons. Number one, he represented God's heart. But number two, he was a man who was all alone with everyone out to kill him. His fellow priests, his fellow prophets, his townsfolk, his neighbors, the princes, the kings. And so this is to let the people know, your listeners, that if you understand Jeremiah and you feel all alone as well, you're going to realize there's hope for our day, just as Jeremiah found hope through eating God's word.
Right. Hey, that's beautifully put. When I think of Jeremiah 31, the new covenant, and all the wonderful things that are said there, and I know there's a passage that, because I was reading your book, actually when we had no electricity for 9 days, I was reading by the window, but there's that passage in Jeremiah chapter 40, it burns in my heart, where Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, called for Jeremiah, and he said, you know, the Lord your God has brought this disaster on your land. And then he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take off your chains, I'm going to let you go, and if you want to come with me to Babylon, you're welcome. I will see that you're well cared for, but if you don't want to come, you may stay here. I mean, that's really tremendous, where this Nebuzaradan, this guy is saying, hey, you know, you're free. What an encouragement when a man, or a woman, of course, when we're faithful to the Lord, God has these hidden mercies, and wow, what a great and awesome God we have.
Oh, for sure. His mercies are new every morning. We need to be looking for them. And just as Jeremiah seemed without hope, you know, in a dungeon, chained, here he's now set free and everyone else has been taken captive and he's free to do what he wants. God always saves the remnant.
Yes, yeah. And then there's another passage that stuck out in my mind. I've been reading it devotionally. I've read your book and I got back into Jeremiah, and we're in chapter 32. Jeremiah is told to buy a field from, I think it's Hanamel, and then he's told, you know, take the sealed deed and the unsealed copy and put them into a clay pot to preserve them for a long time. For the Lord says someday people will again own property in this land. They're going to buy and sell houses and vineyards and fields. So he's actually taking the deed and sealing it in a clay pot where it will be safe. The mice won't chew on it and so forth. So there's so much hope in the wonderful book of Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah, and you see the betrayal of his family. I mean, who wants to buy property when you're about to have a foreign invasion, you know? But Jeremiah did, and, you know, it's just amazing how at that time, you know, in Matthew 24, different places, it says the enemies will be those of their own household, or father against children and children against parents. Here his own family even was betraying him.
Well, you even write that Jeremiah has a very dysfunctional family, and you unpack the teaching that holds for us today on several levels. You speak about that. Can you just touch on these a bit? Because, I mean, when you speak about family matters, and, you know, here's this man, all the fake news, the prophets are against him, the king's unhappy with him. How did this guy survive?
Oh, I think it says he ate God's word and there was sweet in his mouth. Mm. Did you remember Ezekiel lived during that time? He was over in Babylon, and he also ate a scroll. And John in Revelation ate a scroll. And I think the whole key is we have to focus on God's word and eat it and have it become a part of our life, because his whole family, God even told Jeremiah, don't even listen to what your family's saying because they're betraying you behind your back. Mm. and talk about dysfunctionality, I go into the history of what led to this time. And most listeners, I'm sure, probably don't know this, but in Hebrews 11, where it talks about people of faith who were even sawn in half, yes, that refers to King Isaiah. And few people know that Isaiah's daughter is the one who married Hezekiah and gave birth to Manasseh, that wicked king. Mm. And Manasseh was one who was offering his children to Molech. So poor Isaiah sees his grandkids, you know, being offered up to Molech. And Manasseh's the one who killed Grandpa Isaiah when he hid in a tree and he sawed the tree in half. Mm.
Yeah, I remember we at church, we did a study on Hebrews 11 for about 2 months, and I remember that passage. But what about some of the undeniable patterns found in the book of Jeremiah, Lamentations, the book of Revelation? It leads to your belief that we need to grasp that you know, what God was saying to Israel still holds application to us today in 2020.
Oh, absolutely, Pastor Larry. Well, like Lamentations, unless you read it in Hebrew, there's something that every English reader misses. Every chapter, the verses are actually in alphabetical order. There's 22 Hebrew letters, and there's 22 verses in the first chapter, each one beginning with a word that begins with the first letter going all through all 22. But in chapter 2, all of a sudden, there's a change. Two of the letters are reversed. Mm. It's the letter pay and the ayin, which means the mouth and the eye. And the eye refers to understanding. Well, that's supposed to come before the mouth, which means you're supposed to know what you're talking about before you start talking. And that got switched around in Lamentations. And then finally in chapter 5, all the whole thing's total chaos. There is no alphabetical order at all. But what this shows me is not only is it times of chaos, but God is in control. And that's what people need to put their trust in, is even though things seem chaotic, God is still in control of everything going on. And then, like you said, the patterns repeat. Oh, my goodness. There's so many patterns where Jeremiah is found in the book of Revelation. And so in the book, I go through all the places that Revelation is quoting Jeremiah. As a matter of fact, there's over 600 verses there's over 600 references from the Tanakh or the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. Mm. So how could we understand Revelation if we don't know the connections back to Jeremiah and the rest of the prophets?
Well, you, I must say, like I said at the very opening, you're one of my favorite expositors because you bring out so much. You know, I've been studying the Bible for 50 years, but a lot of the stuff I was not aware of. And I'm, you know, like Ronald Reagan said, I'm not very smart, but I know some smart people like Mark Biltz, and I enjoy it so much. So, what is one of the greatest things we can do in life during a time of chaos that we see in the book of Jeremiah? Just one thing, maybe two things that are really important in a time of chaos.
Well, I believe it's to draw close. That's what it is. Now is the time when we need to focus like a laser on God's word, because our emotions are going to come and go, but we have to realize God is true. And you mentioned Jeremiah 31, the new covenant.
Yes.
That is the most important thing that we can focus on. Is first off, time, people come and go, times come and go, but God's word stands forever.
Yes.
And I think that is the main thing we need to focus on, is on his word.
I know recently, supposedly, at least Iran believes Israel's behind it, that a nuclear scientist was killed, and, you know, Iran is making all these horrific threats. And one of the reports I read said he was killed by a robot that was shooting machine gun. I don't know if that's true or not. But when I see all these things happening, and I think of tiny little Israel, you know, every year, every November, I take a tour to Israel. This November, we didn't go. And I really missed it. And after reading your book, I mean, I had such a love for the Jewish people, for Israel, for God's covenant, for his eternal faithfulness, for the promise of Genesis chapter 15, the unconditional covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and so forth. I mean, this is really, you know, in reading your book and reading Jeremiah, I really felt my spirit being stirred. And, you know, I think you've made a great contribution. I think God was in you doing this book right now during the coronavirus, during all this election confusion. Praise the Lord, you've done a great job.
Well, thank you so much. I had 200 people ready to go with me in December, leaving like today. But that had to be canceled, just like yours, so we're looking at next year. Mm. But how many times have you been to Israel now, Larry?
Oh, I think about 12 times, 12, 13 times. You've probably been many more times. I know Dr. Hutchings, I believe, had been there 51 or 52 times.
Yeah, I've only been there about 15 to 16 times or so. But I tell you what, it makes a difference when you go, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. Just to see those sights, to see the Jordan River, I love it. I hope we can go next year. Well, thank you, Mark, for this first program on Decoding the Prophet Jeremiah. We're again looking forward to having you back with us on our next program. Really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Larry.
Matthew, our announcer, will come and tell you how you can get a real good read, Decoding the Prophet Jeremiah.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is another one of those bundle offers. We think these bundles are better for our listeners. For a gift of $25, you get, first of all, the new book by Mark Biltz titled Decoding the Prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah may have been an Old Testament prophet, but he still speaks to our modern world. The next part of our bundle is the best-selling book by Pastor Noah Hutchings, titled 25 Messianic Signs in Israel Today. It is still a fascinating book, and it's still being fulfilled in Israel today. And the third item in this bundle is the DVD with the same title, 25 Messianic Signs in Israel Today. This DVD was shot on-site in Israel with Noah Hutchings. You get all three items, the new book by Mark Biltz, the book by Pastor Noah Hutchings, and the DVD for a gift of $25. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can also write and place your order. Just send your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And this offer is available on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
No matter who becomes president of the United States for the next 4 years, a godless president does not change the Christian's responsibility to oppose evil. Someone who is favorable to the Christian position is indeed a blessing, and we must never cease working and praying to that end. But someone who is unfavorable and opposes the Christian position does not alter, modify, or eclipse our duty. Rather, it makes standing for what is right even more necessary.
President Obama issued an executive order just before leaving office, forcing schools that receive federal funding to let boys who self-identify as girls to use girls' bathrooms and showers. President Trump immediately reversed the order.
Thank God for that, Marvin. Can you imagine showering with Nancy Pelosi?
Oh, Pastor Larry, that just burned a hole in my retina. And probably the start of years of therapy. But to continue my line of thought, Democratic Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he supports Biden's vow to restore Obama's order on his first day in office. Schumer was asked by a reporter recently, quote, Joe Biden said that on his first day in office, he will give transgender students access to sports, bathrooms, and locker rooms in accordance with their gender identity in federally funded schools. Do you think he has the ability to do this, and do you agree with his decision? Schumer responded, I agree with the decision, and I know he'll check things out thoroughly, legally.
Biden has also promised to immediately reverse Trump administration policies that he believes are discriminatory and implement an agenda to advance global LGBTQ+ rights and development. In fact, during a town hall in October, Biden promised a mother that he would, quote, flat out just change the law to accommodate young people who want to change their gender, close quotes.
Pastor Larry, isn't Biden a professing Roman Catholic? And he's trying to persuade faithful Catholics that he's even Catholic.
He is, but faithful Catholics are not going along with Biden. One thing that Biden has on his side, however, is this current Pope, Pope Francis. He endorsed same-sex civil unions for the first time as Pope while being interviewed for the feature-length documentary Francesco which premiered in October at the Rome Film Festival. Francis said that homosexual people are children of God and have a right to be in a family. The papal thumbs up came midway through the film that delves into issues Francis cares about the most, including the environment, poverty, immigration, racial and income inequality, and people of color most affected by discrimination. While Francis was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, Francis endorsed civil unions for gay couples as an alternative to a same-sex marriage. However, he had never come out publicly in favor of civil unions as Pope.
There seems to be a growing pushback rising in the Catholic Church. Cardinal Gerald Mueller stated that when there is conflict between the words of a Pope and the words of God, one has to choose God. The cardinal reminded the faithful of St. Paul, who had to withstand St. Peter when Peter was teaching error.
The first COVID-19 vaccines could be available shortly, but the side effects might turn away patients once they find out the side effects. The vaccines will require a second dose, but getting sick from the first dose might keep patients away from getting a second.
Both Pfizer and Moderna claim their vaccines are over 90% effective, but only if they are given in two doses. In trials, the doses of Moderna's vaccine were given 4 weeks apart. The Pfizer vaccine had two shots 3 weeks apart. Some participants in both trials described having serious side effects. One individual said he had such bad chills he cracked a tooth, and another saying he experienced full-on COVID-like symptoms.
A Pew Research poll in September found that only 51% would definitely or probably take the vaccine, compared with 49% who definitely or probably wouldn't. In a May 2020 poll, the figures were higher for those who would take it. 72% said they definitely would take it, whereas now only 51% are willing to take it.
There are widespread public concerns about aspects of the vaccine development process, despite the fact that 9 pharmaceutical companies guaranteed that a potential vaccine they would market would meet rigorous standards. A major survey finds that 3/4 think it's very or somewhat likely a COVID-19 vaccine will be approved in the United States before its safety and effectiveness are fully understood.
When asked about the fast pace of the vaccine approval process, 78% say their greater concern is that it will move too fast without fully establishing safety and effectiveness, compared with just 20% who are more concerned approval will move too slowly, creating unnecessary delays.
A Kaiser Family Foundation poll published in early September found that 62% of respondents are worried that the political pressure from the Trump administration will lead the FDA to rush approval of a coronavirus vaccine without making sure it is safe and effective, including 85% of Democrats. Only 35% of Republicans expressed concern.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who for months has rejected dozens of Republican proposed aid packages for Americans suffering from the coronavirus pandemic, has abruptly reversed course. Previously, she refused to approve a smaller package. She rejected dozens of proposals to help small business owners and taxpayers over the summer and fall, but now she has changed course.
Pelosi was asked why, and she said, "That's okay now because we have a new president, a president who recognizes that we need to depend on science to stop the virus, a president who understands America's working families need to have money in their pockets," close quotes.
Pelosi failed to tell the truth. It was actually President Trump whose cutting of red tape and crafting of a public-private partnership led to the development of several vaccines in record-setting time. Some of the vaccines will be ready before Christmas. President Trump quickly closed travel from China and later from Europe, even though Pelosi and liberals accused him of overreacting and being xenophobic.
In fact, both Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden publicly said they would have left the borders open. Others went so far as to label President Trump as being racist. The mainstream media, in soundbite after soundbite, mocked his decision to be cautious, labeling it as an extreme measure. The liberals are clearly suffering from the Trump derangement syndrome. If Donald Trump were to find a cure for cancer tomorrow, his critics would accuse him of putting doctors out of work.
Friends, we have a unique opportunity for you to be involved in evangelism and missions. We believe that Scripture teaches that our Lord is coming back soon after the gospel is proclaimed to every nation, tribe, and people group. Multiply thousands have been brought to Christ through viewing the Jesus film. The film has been translated into 1,700 languages and is available to be sent all over the world so that those unacquainted with the good news of Christ will be able to hear it and view it in their own language. We are offering a backpack that contains the entire system with all of the accessories necessary to show the film. Many of the areas that are now opening up have no electricity. Electricity is provided by a solar panel contained in the backpack. This is one of the most amazing evangelism tools for getting the gospel into virtually inaccessible areas. Please go to our website to find out more about Operation Unreachable Now. Motorcycles are already available to transport these backpacks into the hardest-to-reach areas. Each backpack will be the responsibility of an American missionary who will show the film. Your gift can help get the Jesus film into the hands of those who will bring it to hungry souls. Glory, hallelujah, what a great, great time that will be. So please check our website for more information, swrc.com.
We hear many people say they think Jesus could come back any day now. Are there signs that point to his soon return? Find out when you order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. And of course, you can order on our website at swrc.com. While you're browsing our website, take a look at the many different sections we offer. If you missed a program, or if you would like to listen to a program again, we have an entire year of programming available in our Listen section. There's lots of uplifting articles written by David Smith in our Encouragement section, and plenty of videos to watch in our Watch section. That's all happening at swrc.com. Thank you for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Mark Biltz conclude this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.